I'm Lindsay with Wild Root Flower Company.
And I'm Shannon from Bloom Hill Farm. Over the last 6 years, we've leaned on each other as we grew our farms into the profitable six-figure farms they are today.
We want you to join us each week as we have real, honest conversations about life and business. And we promise you'll leave feeling inspired and your farming toolbox will be filled with actionable strategies you can implement at any stage in your business.
Learn from our mistakes as we talk business, marketing, and growing techniques to help you create the farm of your dreams.
So let's roll up our sleeves
and get the dirt on flowers.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Dirt on Flowers podcast. We have today on the podcast, we have a very fun interview. So, and I met this person before I reveal who it is, although you probably already know from reading the title.
Yeah.
But in case you haven't,
you're slick.
I am slick. Sometimes I don't read the title.
Me too. I'm just diving in.
I'm going in. I'm like, I listen to my weekly podcast. I don't know who the heck she's going to be bringing up or who they're going to be bringing up. So I spoke at an agritourism conference in Austin, Texas, earlier in February of 23. Mm-hmm. And I got to meet a ton of people, including our guest, Loretta Ball, from the Never Ending Flower Farm. We connected. We were kind of like one of the only two flower farmers there that were speaking, really. And so I just heard her. She sat through my presentation. But do you know when you give a talk, Shan, and mm-hmm. like somebody is just beaming in the room and you're like,
yes,
it's amazing. I just want to stare at that person.
Yes. They're giving you the feedback, like the eyes.
Yeah, girl, you're good.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was like, this soul is touching mine right now. 2 hour long talk. And so afterwards, I got to meet her. It was Loretta, and she owns the Never Ending Flower Farm, and they're in Asheville, North Carolina, which I felt like we were on West Coast. You know, we were in Texas. And so I felt like, and mm-hmm. she just has the sweetest damn accent you've ever heard in your life. So, you know, we've got the like washed up.
She's 100% adorable.
Yes. 100% adorable. So, yeah. Loretta, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Now, no pressure about my accent or anything. So,
yeah, no pressure. Just talk normal. Yeah. We just sound like some.
You.
Yeah, we just have like a washed up West Virginia accent. Well, I do at least.
Yeah.
I mean, Shannon's a little further north. So,
yeah.
Yours is like the one that everybody wants.
Oh, gosh. So when we met and I was in your workshop,
yeah,
you know, it was like standing room or your speech standing room. And I was like, oh, and I loved everything you did. You know, my husband keeps nudging me. He's like, we're going to do this. We need to do this. And I'm like, when are we going to have time to add anything else? And then when I done my presentation, it was full, you know, it was full.
Yeah.
And then people kept getting up and leaving. Yeah, I think
maybe they just had to go to the bathroom.
No, they didn't come back. They never came back. But I think my presentation was, I don't know, I didn't hit the mark somehow. But I did have a few people that stayed, and they were great. But I was like, oh, I needed to look into my audience of who I was speaking to better. But
I don't know. No, I'm sure it was wonderful. That's why we're having you on here.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I love how – so when we chatted afterwards, which is – funny because we chatted afterwards and it was like two people that run a UPIC, you just bond kind of in a special way. And
like I could,
you know,
finish your sentences and you could finish mine. We knew exactly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And, I remember after we talked, I was just so intrigued because I had never met anybody that ran their UPIC in a different way than I had, you know? So I was like, this was just sort of the only world that I knew is like running it where we just check people out and you run it on a self-serve basis. So I was just always so fascinated. And your page, your Instagram page is just beautiful anyway.
Yeah,
and I always love looking at other people's, you know, stuff and feeling inspired by it. And so, yeah, after we left, you've actually had my like wheels turning about how am I going to run my UPIC? How could I run it differently? And I remember I called Sean and I was like, I just met like the nicest people. And your husband, Kurt, was just so sweet. You guys, we stood there and chatted and I loved it. I know, I think I held you up from a session too. I was like done. And
yeah,
I was
that's
like,
okay.
Yeah.
Held you I up, could go but, back and watch that one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But that was a fun experience to get to meet you. And so we've been chatting since then. I know I was supposed to come down and see you too at some point, which is still on my list. I love visiting other farms. So you're on my list to run down and see, because you're only like 5 hours from me, actually.
Yeah. Very good. We'll have to make it happen.
Too bad.
Yeah. I'm so far south in Ohio that we're right on that West Virginia border. So we just jump through a couple states and we're there pretty quick. So, you know, I know your farm, the Never Ending Flower Farm, it's located in the Big Ivy community in Barnardsville, North mm-hmm. Carolina.
Yeah.
And it's just 20 minutes north of Asheville, which that's just a really cool area anyway. Like mm-hmm. that Asheville is just such a fun area. So tell me, like, I guess just tell us a little bit about like how you got started on the farm.
So I actually started, my background's very similar to yours in more greenhouse settings. So my mm-hmm. first job at 16 was at our local greenhouse and I was like the water girl. And, you know, that's like, it's really a hard job. I think that's why a lot of people kill their plants. They don't know how to water them properly. So I worked after school and summers until, you know, I got out of high school and then just went full time with them. And then of course got married, we didn't have kids right away. So it was more greenhouse setting. And then flowers was always just whatever we grew in with the vegetable garden, you know, sunflowers and zinnias. And let's see here. We actually got a grant in 2009 and to start a retail greenhouse and like a little farm stand. Oh. And we put that at my in-law's house, which is like on Barnardsville Highway. So it was like a lot of traffic. And where we live, we're like back in the holler, like nobody would ever come, as I thought, nobody would ever come out to, you know, see us. So that was great. We did retail greenhouse and then we did vegetable produce, you know, that kind of like little vegetable stand for a couple years. The boys were small, like 3 and 6 months. So I regret looking back now, like I missed those little years with them because I was like, let's, you know, I need to do this. So mm-hmm. We had that business for about 4 years and it was great. And then I hurt my neck. It's kind of an embarrassing story, but I had a Tahoe then. And so one day I was pulling the back down, you know, like closing it up after getting the bearings out, and the back hatch just came down right on top of my head. And basically I gave myself whiplash. I know, like,
oh my gosh,
honestly, people do that. Like, cause I tell my story like, oh, that happened to me. So anyway, but the bad thing is I done it twice. I did it once in the spring and then again in the fall. And it just like, basically it was like a bad whiplash. Mm-hmm. And so that was like, you know, when you hurt your neck and your back.
Yeah.
Totally messes you up. Yeah. So we had eventually that following year had to close our little greenhouse and farm stand because I just couldn't do it. And we wasn't big enough to have employees like take my position of growing mm-hmm. So it took about 2 years to heal from that. And I'm still I know I always have neck problems, but I just have to watch myself. So 2017 is when I started, like, you know, I got the bug like everybody else. You start watching like Florette come on. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, she's my person. And you know, this is what I do, but I didn't know you could make a thing out of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's when it started. My husband is looking at me like, what are you getting yourself into? And so the vegetable garden became more flowers, less vegetables. Mm-hmm. And 2017 is when I was like, hey, let's try you pick because I have all these flowers blooming. And I was just doing a little bit of weddings and selling to like two florists, just like randomly whenever they needed dahlias. So we tried it and I think I made like, I don't know, like $1,500 that first season, basically to pay for seeds and stuff.
Yeah.
And I did try to hire a girl to like stay down there and be with the field and professor and stuff. Yeah. And that was horrible. It was I think I paid her like $10 an hour and she sat there on her phone and like,
oh gosh.
Oh no.
Yeah, we would have like you're so sweet too. I make a pool weeds.
I was like, that was the plan. I was like, if I was never a boss and I was like, if you wanna like deadhead or like pull some weeds, that'd be great, you know? And
so sweet.
So of course that didn't last. And then I was like, that's why I was like, okay, we have to think of like the honor system. And so we had a lot of friends that did vegetable farms, and they had, you know, their U-Pick or not their U-Pick, but their honor system produce stand.
Yeah.
And so I just basically kind of did how they were doing it, you know, had their little cash box set up, the information of like how and what and where and everything. I just tried to make it very simple. And like every few weeks I'd have to rechange stuff because people were like, they didn't get it. They're like, now temp, what am I supposed to do? Like, well, mm-hmm, you yes know, so mm-hmm, yep. So fast forward now. And I feel like finally after 6 years, I've got it down pat and not smooth sailing, because it's always going to be something when you're open to the public. Yeah. But
yes. Oh, that's yeah a fact. That's a good. Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. They just yeah give you new things to know that you have like need a sign for, or need a rule for, or a boundary exactly for, or something yeah you yeah forgot. Yeah, yeah.
And I hate to have a lot of rules, but I look at it, and this is going to sound horrible, and I don't mean it to be bad, but honestly, it's like having a group of kindergartners on your property.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And teaching them like how to pick flowers, and because you mm-hmm gotta think, people have never done this before, and yep they have no clue. They don't know. Like, I had a guy yep pull his pocket knife out and was like trying to hack down the whole plant. And then you have people wanting to pull the whole plant up and take yep the whole plant home. I was like, no, no, no. So
Shannon's had that. She had somebody pulling up amaranth. That story yeah is great. A big. I love that so much. Yeah. And the kindergarten comparison is fantastic because they don't read also.
Exactly. Yeah. And they yeah look pictures. Pictures are the way to go. So,
okay. Yeah. That's good.
But to go back, I love my UPIC. I mean, I wouldn't be doing it after 6 years if I didn't love it. And I love yeah our customers. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And it really is a good group. I know my husband always says good fences make good customers. That yeah that that's like our saying, our motto for next year.
Because okay, well, I have a story. Like
heard
I
them have a, through cattle.
You have a story?
No, tell your story. Story.
Oh, good.
So the way our property is, we're like in a little valley, a little dip. So on one side of our property is a cousin, and he has his cows, 5-strand, you know, barbed wire fence. Mm-hmm. The other property, same 5-strand barbed wire because they have cattle. Well, we had this. I think this was 2 years ago. We had a group of, you know, just carefree young coming out to enjoy the flower farm. This one uh-huh guy was in like this spandex leotard, tie-dye leotard. Like none of them had shoes on. Like, you know, we are right outside of Asheville.
Okay? I was just going to say that's yeah very Asheville.
But we get all kinds. We get all kinds.
Yes.
I've never seen a leotard at Bayou Pick. That's a new one.
We've had some loincloths. I could tell you some stories. And my boys are like, Mama, did you see what they're wearing? I'm like, it's okay, honey. Just be nice to them. Just be nice. And they are. So anyway, we look out and like half of them have climbed over that 5-strand barbed wire fence and walked up our neighbor's property. And it's like a big hill. Like, you know, it's probably like a football field up the top of the, and they're just sitting under this tree, and I don't blame them. It's beautiful up there. It's like you can see the mountains, and they're just sitting up there and they're having the best time. So I text my neighbors. I'm like, hey, I've got some strays over on your property.
Strays. Let the bulls out.
Yeah. I just want you to know. I was like, I'm headed down to go tell them to come back over. Well, by that time I walked down, because I'm up at the house, they've already crossed over the hill, like into their property. I don't even see them anymore, like, because they went over the hill. And they do. They have like 100 head of cattle, you know, the bulls and the mama cows are very protective of the babies. So I had to go down, and the two people that was still left in the field, I was like, hey, is there any way you can call your friends and get them to come back? That's not our property. And they're like, oh yeah, no problem. So anyway, that was,
oh my god,
yeah. So fences, I think it was, you have to do electric fences around our property.
Yeah,
so
that's what we have
over the yeah barbed wire.
Yeah, yeah.
You tear a leotard doing that.
I tear a leotard. Yep.
About to tear a leotard. Oh my gosh, we could do a whole episode on just like funny UPIC stories.
I have all kinds. Yeah, yeah. I find all kinds of nice kitchen knives in the field too, where people mm-hmm bring their own knives to cut.
My
yeah, God. We have a collection.
That's so funny. Weapons.
Yeah. Yes.
Really.
The boys love it. They're like, look what we found, you know.
So good. Yeah.
how many acres? Because you know a lot of our listeners are just starting off. So if they wanted to start a UPIC, like just I think it's always like really good perspective for people to hear like how much you started with, what you've grown to, like what does that look like?
Yeah, I think probably that first year, like 2017, honestly, it was like an eighth of an acre. It was okay. Hardly anything. Mm-hmm. And then we bumped it to about a fourth of an acre. And now I'm right at a half acre.
Okay.
Which is plenty.
Yeah.
But it's enough for myself and my mom to take care of. Mm-hmm. We do have a separate, I call it my secret garden, kind of up at our chicken lot. And that's got the special dahlias that I keep for weddings and florists, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
That's good. Very cool. I did steal your loofah idea. So she has this like really fun loofah tunnel. We did hyacinth beans on it and I did a few loofahs, but kids were like, not even just young kids. They were like running through and just punching these things. Like, like a punching bag, you know, these things are hanging down. And then I got a text message from one of my friends that said, "The hell are you growing back there?" Like these things just start hanging down, you know, like later in the season. And he's like, "All right,
what is this?
Oh my God. Yeah. But it was a fun little ad for us. We're going to have like a little kids area, I think next year is what we're planning on doing. But it just is the cutest idea to have like a little like tunnel area for people to like walk mm-hmm. through and stuff. Yeah. It was a really cute idea.
We added birdhouse gourds to that. And
cute.
Last year it was beautiful. And now, of course, I have to put signs. Please don't pick the gourds. Please don't pick the loofahs. But the thing is, the loofahs just look like big cucumbers. So
that's
people will
do.
Come out and they'll be like, "Oh, we picked this cucumber. Oh, I can't wait to eat this." And I'm like, "Well, good luck eating that, you know, because you go cut it open and it's a lot of fiber." But, you know, I just laugh. Oh, mm-hmm. that's, you know, how you do, because you have to be nice.
Yes.
And I took the loofah tunnel down this year because I had to redone some stuff on the field, and we'll put it back and not like a tunnel, but just more arches in between our raised beds, our perennial beds that I've added. And, but anyway, you have to have the signs. Please don't pickle.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, I didn't think
I didn't
that's,
either.
That's where I went, wrong.
Common sense. Well, this looks neat. We shouldn't pick it, but
No, people that's are, cute. Yeah, it's an interesting, I'm sure you're like, you know, the smile where you're just like kind of smiling and laughing. My face, I think I'm like outwardly doing it very sweetly, but I really do think my face probably is more like,
what
the hell are they doing? Like you go up to them, I'm like, because I have this little like brow, my brow like furrows a little bit and I get this permanent line right here that just sticks. So I think I'm like, what are they on our gas tanks for? Yeah. What are they on the? Oh my gosh! They came to a flower farm to take senior pictures, and they're on a gas tank. But anyway, whatever, an oil tank. So, does Kurt work on the farm full time? I know you mentioned like you have your mom and yourself, but are those the only two employees? Because I just saw a recently photo of your mom working on a tractor with you and the rototiller.
Yeah.
And it just warmed my heart. Oh my gosh. I was like, I want to be that, like out working on a piece of equipment, you know, like anyway. So do you have employees? So, like what's your situation with your help?
Okay. So Kurt is full-time off the farm. So, and it took us a few years to get where Saturdays he didn't have to come in and be like, I have a big long list, you know? So, he was just like, I can't do both, honey. So to the point now, he's like, if I just need something, he can help. So it's basically mom and myself. And my mom, like, I honestly couldn't do everything I do without her. And, you know, she doesn't work, you know, a job. And of course, you know, I feel bad, but she's, you know, she won't let me pay her, which, you know, we built our little grandma house and she's like, she's pretty much got it made here, you know, like, she just has to live her life. My sister and me take care of all of her bills. And, you know, she just is, and she has to be busy with her dementia. And, you know, as long as she's got something to do, she's happy. And so it's those days that she's like, doesn't have anything to do. Like, I don't know, like depression sets in and kind of like, I don't, you know, like I just need something. So I always have something for her to do. And yeah, like now we're doing the interview and she's down there. It's 35 degrees. She's covering the flowers up for me.
But
yeah. So and then I do have a part-time employee, Lila, that helps with floral design. And she is wonderful, but I can't keep her on full-time. So it's like right now where she's finishing up the resin orders that we were doing resin preservation. And we're no longer offering that anymore because that was a whole nother.
Yeah.
Whole nother part. And so she's finishing up those orders and then she'll start back more on like a freelance type deal for weddings for next year.
Okay. Like kind of as needed. So does she like at all come in and help you with planting or is just you and your mom for planting in the spring?
Yeah. Me and mom are basically the flower farm and Lila is floral design. Cause when I hired her on, she's very upfront. She's like, I'm not really into field work. She don't like to get her hands dirty, but she loves floral design. So she's great.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we have small weddings. She takes care of it. No problem. I'm down in the field. So it really worked out. And I'm hoping next year, like in the spring, we can start that back up again.
Yeah.
But just the winter, since we're not doing the resin bouquets preservation, I don't really have anything for her, which is sad because I love her. Aww. So I want to keep her. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the trick. When you get good, that's where you're like, there's some motivation to keep them on to try to, you know, not have them go get another job somewhere else. I know Shannon and I have both been in that position where it kind of like pushes you like, okay, what else can I do to keep this person busy? And
keep them on. And right now we're in my basement, our floral studio. And oh my gosh, it's a nightmare down there. Like when she hired on, I was like, look, Lila, you're just going to have like, I promise there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we've got a big building built on the property, my new floral studio, but it's not going to be ready for a few more months. And I'm like, just bear with me.
Yeah.
You know, she has to come up and use the same bathroom that the boys use. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I hadn't had time to clean it. She's like, it's okay. She's and then Kurt will be retiring. Hopefully he'll have his 25 years in with, you know, where he works now.
Oh,
in,
wonderful.
Let's see, 2 more years, maybe 3.
Nice.
So that's our goal is the flower farm and floral design will be full time.
Oh, good.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, yep. That's the plan.
Oh, good.
Very good. So I know I'm always interested to hear how other flower farms run their business. What are your different business enterprises that you offer on the farm? I know you said wedding design, you have the U-Pick. Where else are you selling all your flowers?
Well, I just have a few floral designers that will actually, they like to just come and pick themselves because they get what they want.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And that way I love it.
Yeah.
And I don't do any markets. I don't do hardly any other wholesale because I will pick like the DIY buckets for the brides.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll do their bouquets, boutonnieres, and then I'll have, you know, a couple buckets picked for them. They'll come and pick up a day or two before.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly the U-Pick is our main source of, sales outlet for the flowers.
Yeah.
And also I wouldn't mind to get into more wholesale for florists, but I'm picking out of the same field that our U-Pick is. And, you know, I might have a bridal party come through and wipe out every single burgundy dahlia or all the white cosmos. And I don't know, I can't guarantee that I'll have anything later on for the florist.
Particular color. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you like stop yourself from expanding and kind of jumping into new markets? This is just something that I'm so fascinated by. I listened to Grace Lamb from Five Forks talk about it at the ASCFG conference a few years ago, where she just has sort of like dialed in her market. And I tend to be one, like I started out doing everything and now I'm in a phase where I'm sort of like weeding out what's not working for me and kind of going to more of this, a more simple business structure. So like, how do you, I don't want to say, I guess it is stop yourself, but how did you sort of settle on that and keep yourself sort of reined in and focused on what you're doing?
Yes. Well, you know, I've got the two boys, Quinn and Ledger, they're 13 and 16, and I've only got a few more years that they're in my house, that they're with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the flower farm is like third on the list. of to do. Now, when they get out of the house and when Kurt is full time on the farm, then I'm going to vamp it up where, you know, but right now, you know, I want to be a wife and a mom first, mm-hmm. and then the business, it's third
priorities.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I love
and
that.
There's so many things. Oh, believe me. Like there's so many things I want to add and I'm like, oh, let's do this and this. And then I'm like, when am I going to have time? And I would have to hire another employee. And we all know employees are expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, if I could just hold myself back a few more years until Kurt comes on, mm-hmm. and then we can, you know, and plus the way I have it now, it's like, of course I have stress, but like I'm trying to weed out the stress in my life. And I was like, those resin preserve bouquets that we were taking on, I was like, oh my gosh, I think I had like 7 heart attacks, you know, the past 2 years because the stress of those. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is, you know, yes, we were making money off of it, but my stress, like, So I got rid of that and just dialing in the YouPick flowers, like the main varieties that we grow, adding perennials and adding woody shrubs, flowering shrubs. That's my 2024 goal, is to add more of those. So,
Oh, and I really like that. That's a very sweet. It seems like you're just very in tune to what your priorities and staying focused on that. And I think that's very smart because that's going to fill you. I mean, that's going to fill you up and it's going to make you financially solid as well. You know, I mean, that Shannon and I talk about it all the time. That's one thing we say. It's like, you know, do more of what lights you up and cut out what doesn't. And if you are able to see something that's causing you stress and eliminate it, that's like very smart, very wise.
Yeah. But it, you know, it took me till I was like 40 to realize that.
Yep.
Like, oh, good golly.
Yep.
The wisdom is coming in my 40s. And we also have our covered shed, our little venue. It didn't start out as a venue, but it's kind of turned into that also. So, you know, we rent that out for birthday parties, bridal showers, baby showers, and starting to take on like micro weddings.
Okay.
But not a lot because those are stressful. So that's another little source of income. We're trying to think of all things we could do on our property and, you know, then we're make as much money as we can on the property without having to leave.
Yeah. Smart. Yeah. I mean, I think your story is just such a cool testament to how cool our job is, that it can like change with us in our seasons of life. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a perk, I think. So I just think that's one of the cool things about what we do. So that's very good.
Too.
I know. So you do you pick the weddings, you have your little events that you do. You also do a supper club, which is something cool to talk about, it's fun.
I love it. Yes.
Yeah. Talk about that before I jump
into the next thing. It's one of my most favorite things. So we started that this past year and there was this chef that came out and done a wedding, like a little dinner at our event or our shed. And I was like, you know, hey, I have this idea. Can we, you know, do our own supper club? And of course it took like 2 years because they were just booked and they're like, ah, this poor girl, she keeps aggravating us, you know. And we had hosted, I don't know if you've looked at that Secret Supper. I think they're based out in Oregon and they just travel around the US and all over. And you buy a ticket and it's like $200 to this dinner and you know the city that it's going to be in. But you don't know the location and you don't know, you know, the chef. So that way you can kind of look up their food. And then like 24 hours before, you know, you get the location. So it's secret supper.
Oh,
and
I love that.
We hosted them, 2021, I think. And of course it rained and we had, you know, our little shed at the time could fit like 30 people and they had like 50 people and we were crammed in there and it was like rainy and mud and people couldn't get up in the field that was for parking because I didn't have it graveled. And so they ended up having to park down on the flower field, which I don't like because it just obstructs the view of everything. But anyway, it was great. And people were like emailing me and messaging me, like, we want to do this. So I knew there was an interest, like people want this. And so we just finally nailed down some dates and the caterer, they basically do everything. They had the dishes. They've got the staff. They bring their food truck. And, mm-hmm. you know, so they have all the, it's a 6-course dinner with wine pairings. And let's see, we charge $165 a ticket. And they, you know, cocktail hour, they get to pick a little vase of flowers. And then we move up to the shed and I'll do some kind of floral installation, you know, on the table. And yeah, so we just get to sit down and
very cool. But no design portion, right? Because I do a design and dine, but we're, so they're doing like a workshop piece, but we've thought about doing just a meal, which is what they're doing for you, right?
Yeah, that is. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, she told me about the secret supper and I was so fascinated by it. Yes. And then I'm like, they aren't going to come to Marietta, Ohio. So they're not going to be like, here's the city. They're 2 hours from an airport. So if you'd like to travel. So I was like, we had been doing that design and dine, but I like that idea. Yeah. So you just have, are you working with the same chef then every time that's coming out? That's something similar to what we do.
And
I love that.
I leave the food to them. I mean, they're chefs. They know what they're doing. You know, I just provide the space, you know, just make sure the farm is beautiful and there's a beautiful tablescape and everything. Mm-hmm. And I have had other flower farmers that's reached out and say, how do you do this? And they're like, this chef wants to charge me. So and I'm like, you just need to find the right fit of catering company or chef to work with you where you both can make money.
And how long is the event?
Oh my gosh. It starts at like 6 and then people were staying till like 10 o'clock. Like, I mean, just because they're having, you know, it's about 2 hours for the dinner because they're cooking on site and, you know, it's 6 courses. And so, so it's definitely like a 4-hour event. Mm-hmm. So,
plus all your prep time to get ready for it too. That's where, we're going to make some changes to ours next year. We normally do 2 and we do the same thing, but we run a workshop portion of it. And so we're like, we put so much into it and I charge accordingly. We charge, you know, quite a bit and for it to, you know, to offset the work. But when you look at like doing that twice, I'm like, maybe we should just run it once and sell a handful more tickets and not really change the feel of the event, you know, selling a handful more tickets and then running one workshop versus 2. So that's just how we've been trying to approach that a little bit, you know, this moving into next season to see like what makes sense to, so we can make the most money. Cause that's, you know, they are a lot to get off the ground. And
it is, it's a lot of behind the scenes work too. Yeah. Like, you know, 2 days of prep, just making sure things are clean around the farm, which it's, you know, we're open 7 days a week. So things are always have to be pretty, but still when you have those guests that have paid that amount of money, you want it to be nice for them.
Yeah. Well, before we kind of jump into some of the UPIC stuff, which can you share like your profitability, you know, with your enterprises, sort of like ranking them like highest to lowest, like what is like the most profitable piece for you down to like the bottom?
Right. Well, so are we going to talk?
Yeah. Yeah. You can include the UPIC. Yeah. Of everything that you sell, of all of your like lines of business, like what is the most profitable for you?
So the UPIC is for sure the most profitable. And our numbers have kind of stayed around 50,000 the past, well, I want to say 3 years. And this year, I just did a quick little look on my QuickBooks before I hopped on here with you guys.
Yeah.
And I was a little blown away with the numbers. I was like, no way, because I see that, you know, 60,000 in that we've, you know, brought in. And I'm like, where has that money went? You know, it's like went to Lowe's, you know.
Right. Damn Lowe's.
So, So the UPIC is definitely the most profitable for us. And then wedding floral design. Mm-hmm. And that is, I hate to say it, but that I basically kept that going so Lila, my employee, would have that because I'm fine with just playing in the dirt and being in the flower field. But it's like you have a flower farm, you have to do weddings because you have all the flowers. So the weddings would be number 2. And you know that I really need to work on my marketing.
Oh, you don't have to even share numbers either.
Oh my
gosh. I mean, you don't have to share. We just curious on even profitability, but you know,
weddings are profitable. And then our shed rental, our little venue rental is, that would be like the third. And then the supper clubs are like the last because, you know, the chef, I'm just making, you know, like $50 per person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the other goes for the chef for the food. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, our little venue rental has been, it's kind of been a surprise.
That's good.
I mean, it's like gravel floor, rustic barn wood, you know, it's like nothing fancy, but
yeah,
you know,
people like fancy that.
People. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People really like that.
Mm-hmm. And we haven't really done a lot of workshops just because I don't have time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Working on that for next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's start talking a little bit about your U-Pick, because I know you said that's one of your most profitable things. So tell us a little bit about your location and like your local customer demographic. Where are you pulling your customers from? Do you feel like you're pulling in like new people consistently, or do you have repeat customers? What is like that U-Pick ideal customer look like for you?
Well, it's two main customers. It is repeat customers mm-hmm. that either have like Airbnbs in our area or like just local businesses and they want fresh flowers. And then it's tourism. The tourists are probably our biggest because people coming into Asheville and, you know, like within an hour of Asheville, there's so many different things you can do. And so we're part of like Explore Asheville and all the tourist things.
Oh, good.
So,
smart.
You know, we get highlighted several times throughout the season. And of course, social media has been awesome because all those people come and then they post their photos and like, oh, yeah. I want to go there.
Yes. So,
well, brides too, like the DIY brides. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's three main ones. Mm-hmm. But, I would say we're more of a tourist destination.
Okay.
Because we get a lot in, and even just like a day trip from Charlotte up here, you know, or like a big group of friends that are, mm-hmm. you know, they want to spend the day picking flowers and then they'll go into Weaverville and have lunch or something. So they make a day of it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome. I'm like, you drove 2 hours to come and pick flowers? I'm like, I hope you enjoyed it. You know, I'm like, did I clean the bathroom? Did, you know, it's like, you know how it is. Like everything pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got a nice location being near Asheville because that's mm-hmm. a really sweet spot and only being like 20 minutes from them because it's, you know, you could hook up with like even Airbnb experience or mm-hmm. some of those, you know, places to try to like pull that in. That's a nice draw. I feel like we've been doing U-Pick for 5 seasons. And, you know, I think where we are, we're running like we're not open 7 days a week, which this is going to be. I'm not going to do 7 days a week next year either. If we're moving to U-Pick, it is a lot because I don't have like a ton of separation. I know when you and I chatted, like your house and everything is sort of up above and your field is down below, right? So you've got a little bit of separation from people and I don't really have that. I mean, I haven't where my house sits is up and the field is lower, but I don't really have any like – I can't really hide, you know. And I also don't want to hide. That's the other part is like, you know – yes. I do get a little bit of a breather in the winter because it's like there's not people constantly on the farm. You get mm-hmm. peopled out and want a little bit of that mm-hmm. privacy back. So since you're running your U-Pick self-serve, do you have sort of a pulse on like, are you getting a lot of new people every time? Like, how do you know you're getting those repeat customers? I know you've got some because that's been what I noticed so much this year was that even for our big events, we've done them now so many years, we're pulling in new people every time. And it's expensive from a marketing standpoint to constantly be generating new people. It was shocking to hear people go, oh yeah, we're new. We've never been here. We've been trying to get here. So like, do you have a sense of that, of like with running it self-serve, of like if it's mostly new people or how that works?
I know it's hard because I'm not down there all the time, which is the negative because I like to meet the customers, but you know, I can't be down there all the time.
Right.
Mondays and Tuesdays are like my work day down there and Mondays are pretty busy. And then I'll meet and they're like, yeah, we've been here a couple times. Or come every year when we come on vacation. You know, we started your first year we came. So it's great to have all those repeat customers. But I think most of it is just first timers because they'll tag me on their Instagram. You know, you can follow them and like, we finally made it. We visited. So I think, you know, it is a lot of first timers. I hate I didn't meet them, but
yeah. Do you feel like that, you know, because we're looking at switching our model to a self-serve because we've got our farm stand now and it runs self-serve. So it's like the customer sort of gets trained. My biggest concern has just been like, how do I create a lasting impression on them that they want to come back and they have this like warm feeling experience? Because, you know, when you meet somebody and they walk you through and show you how to cut, it's a very different experience than it just being sort of like automated a little bit. So yeah. How do you feel like you've sort of navigated that process of making them still feel like warm and fuzzies, even though it's self-serve?
Well, I hope they have warm and fuzzies because, you know, I'm not down there, but I feel like doing on your social media, like having your face, which I'm really bad because I don't do it a lot, but just like a public, oh my gosh, you guys are, thank you so much. And I feel like I try to word that, even if I post just a photo, I try to just really show my gratitude of how appreciative I am for everybody that comes up, even though I don't see you and I don't get to meet you. But like, you know, because of you guys, we have what we have. And I just try to portray that as much as I can in words on posts and stuff. And then when we do, I am down there and working, like I don't, like Saturdays, I don't work. Fridays and Saturdays, because it's our busiest time for customers. So I try to interact and be down there. And then, oh my gosh, they just talk. I could just spend all day down there talking. And then Kurt will be like, are you coming up for lunch? Like, I'm like, I need to go down there and check. He's like, don't go down there. You're going to get stuck talking, you know, but that's part of it is you want to talk to your customers. But sometimes, like I said, I just can't people every day, all the time. Like, you know, I have to clean my house or like, I need to, you know, not go down to the flower field during the day. It is. And I do agree. You kind of lose that connection with like, I met her. We went to the flower farm and I met her. Mm-hmm. And then other than like, well, nobody was there, you know, but hopefully that their beautiful flowers that they pick make up for meeting me, you know, not like I'm anything, but you know, you know what I'm saying?
No, they love that connection piece though. Yeah. But I always think that I'm like the flowers, they're going to walk away with like, you know, hopefully that's enough as of a lasting impression. But that's been like something I've been wondering about. So. Yeah.
So like speaking of connecting with your customers, I know you mentioned you work with like the local tourism Discover Asheville. What are the other ways you're marketing your farm? So I guess I'm guessing social. How else do you get the word out there to try to attract new customers?
Well, I haven't done much, honestly, other than just social media. And then I'm a part of the Weaverville Business Association. So Asheville's like the biggest city closest to us. And then Weaverville is like the smaller. So we're basically Weaverville, Barnardville's kind of the same community.
Okay.
So just being a part of the business association with them and like this Saturday is the Christmas parade. So we're going to have a little float in there. The schools, like I tried like on teacher appreciation days for the schools, we do gift certificates to the teachers and just little things like that, like community things. So, and like any kind, of course, you know, we sponsor a baseball team in the spring, or we, you know, if somebody needs a little, like gift baskets, like the Girl Scouts are having something, I'll put a gift basket together and just, you know, that's trying sweet. To give back as much as possible.
Yeah, that's good. All right. So I've got to ask, so you're running self-serve and I feel like communication is like huge. So you're running the self-serve. How are you getting everyone, if they're new, because I think part of it's just training, customer repetition. How are you getting them to park, to pay, to pick, to return your SNPs? Like what, tell me, like give me an overview of sort of like what that process is.
You want the good, the bad, and the ugly?
Yes, I want it. Yeah, I want to hear it.
Okay. Well, first of all, I didn't realize people did not know how to park. Like I just didn't know that was the thing.
No. Yeah.
So parking... And that's one of our biggest things is that we have a big field, not like a huge field, but we can fit like 25 cars. And, you know, people pull long ways where you can only fit 10 cars. So anyway, that's one thing we do have to work on this winter. So yeah, and then I'll even just take my van down there and park it. So people are like, oh, this is how you're supposed to park.
You start it. Somebody said you get the first car started, but that's not always the case. Like I look out sometimes, I'm like, that's where you thought? Like,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's yeah, what I have. Was... I have these half whiskey barrel planners to mark off, you know, where I don't want cars. And sure enough, people back up in between them. They're like, oh, yeah. this is a perfect little space for me.
yeah. Yes.
But anyway, yeah, parking. And I think just signs like Vistaprint is my best friend because mm-hmm. I can print out anything, you know, signs and everything.
Yeah.
So get them to park right. And then like signs like enter here. This is, mm-hmm. and even on my social media posts, and I did a little video I pinned because people are like, that. What do we do when we get there? Mm-hmm. Come into this little building. So just step-by-step instructions, and you walk in the building. And I actually had my photographer friend came out this past season, well, the end of the season, and we did photos of like, put money in your cash box. Here's the big, mm-hmm. you know, 18x24 printout of payments and accept, you know, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, da, mm-hmm. da, 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 and instructions. I've got all that printed out, laminated. So we took a photo of it, and I'm going to upload all that on my website over the winter. So like,
smart.
Like I said, if it's a photo, people will just, they're not going to read, you know,
yes. yeah.
paragraphs, but they'll see that photo.
Yeah.
And then on one wall is our vases. Like you got your vases, these are $28. You got your stadium cups, $25. And then the buckets, $75.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people will still bring their own container. They're still going to bring a 5-gallon bucket. And I have to catch them, be like, hey, why don't you use our little, you know, 3-gallon mop buckets from the dollar store? And then you can transfer. And I'll be like, and just knock a dollar off for the bucket, you know, even though it's $1.25, but you just say,
you know,
and that way they're like, oh, okay. Cause they don't understand. I don't want you cutting 3-foot stem of my zinnia plant to fit in your 5-gallon bucket. So it's hard. It's hard. We pick up pruners out of the field. We pick up pruners out of the driveway. We have, a basket at the end of our driveway, and I've got a sign. It says, oops, did you forget to return your pruners? And so I have a basket.
That's genius. Like, yeah, I think so too.
She told me that tip. I know. I was like, that's a hot tip right there.
And then I made another one, a little like 20 feet on down. Oops, did you forget to pay? And I've got my Venmo and my big scan code on there.
I cannot believe how many people are like, I'll Venmo you when I get home. You can't do that at Sam's Club. And then I'm like sitting in my house and I hear, you know, with the register, Emily, put in a better register sound than what I just did. Okay. Edit in something. But it's like, I'm like, it blows my mind. I'm like, I would never leave somebody's property without paying. Like that would just make me so.
I know. But, and then we will have notes in the cash box because I have a little pad of paper and I'll say, hey, let me know how your experience was, any feedback, you know, to make your trip more pleasant or whatever my wording is. And so sometimes it'll just be, I have $20 cash, but I'm going to Venmo you $5 or I only had 25 and I got a vape, blah, blah, blah. But then like 2 weeks later, I'll get that Venmo and that little memo. Hey, here's that $3 that I owe you or that $5. And people, and I think if they go home and they see their flowers and then it's like, oh yeah, I need to pay.
But what if they don't? That's what I'm like thinking. I know. How many times have they just like left and then they just don't?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. It does blow my mind a little bit.
And I think if, as long as I try to think like, oh, it was an honest mistake and they just forgot because, you know, people forget or they just didn't have the extra $3 for the glass vase. And then some people like I know, like I can look at them and I know they didn't pay on purpose. And then I'm like, oh gosh, I hate if they have a flat tire on their way home and cost them exactly $25 to fix it. You know, like, no, I would never wish that on anybody.
I think you can take like a little tiny rock and you just put it in where the let that air slowly drain out and then they don't know. I know we're going to talk about this with the insiders as an extra with you afterwards, but I'm really curious to pick your brain on like photography sessions because that's the other thing that people already think if you're public that you're just a park. You know, I run into that often. And so I'm anxious to chat with you about that here in a little bit about, you know, what you do to sort of navigate that. So if you're an insider, you can look forward to that extra. If you're not an insider, you can join to hear it. She's going to go over photo sessions in the flower fields and stuff and how she does that. So I'm anxious to hear how she navigates that a little bit. But yeah, communications with people. That's my like signage. I kind of had the idea to do a QR code with a video. So like I'm thinking about getting printing a QR code to show people like, hey, here's a quick like 3 minute or 2 minute video of like what the process is. This is how you pay. This is what you, you know, where you cut, how to cut, like all of that sort of rundown, sort of like what you did to pin. So I'm thinking about doing that is what my, and having signage as well too. I just, I know that I am the person that if you get to, I want it bullet pointed, like just give me the highlights of what I'm supposed to do. So I know that if I, you know, you get into paragraphs, people start skipping over stuff and they, people just read the words that they want to see anyway. We have a sign in our self-serve stand about our shirts. And I think it says, please leave the items in the bag. That's what it says. Please leave items in the bag. And they read, please leave bag. So they like, that's all they read out of that. And so like, then I've had to go through and like, maybe I just highlight all the words, you know, or just like, how do I say this differently that makes them realize like, don't, you know, I don't know. It's interesting.
And I think it would be great to have like TV screen down in our little shed, you know, where they check in and it's like the continuous play of like, hey, welcome to the fire farm. Let's get started at here.
Oh, that's
good. Oh, I know.
I like that.
Yeah. And we had, and it was funny because our little shed, our little, it's like a 10 by 16. And then we got the bathroom on like one side and then the little walk-in, it's like just a little roll up garage door. You just walk straight in and there's only, it's like a 10 by 10 area. That's the only space you have. People will walk in and they'll see the vases and the prices and they won't even turn around on that back wall where all the instructions and the cash box. And then they'll see me like in the field, like, how do we pay? What do we do? And I'm like, walk back up there. And I'm like, well, on this wall right behind you. And of course I'm smiling. I'm pleasant. I mean, you have to be. Yeah, it's like I said, the kindergartners, you just, oh gosh, maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't want to insult
anybody. It's fine. You can insult people. They need to hear it. I mean, it, I would be one of the group that you were insulting. Like, it just, you know.
I think they're so excited, too.
They are.
They're just like, what do I do next? You know, they just don't even
and
care.
And I think
just
people are just, they're excited. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel so good. Like, I feel like I'm like, not that I'm important of anything, but they're like, we have been following you for like years now. Yeah. We finally made it
up. We're
so happy to be here. Yep. And I'm just, you know, I want their experience to be above and beyond. Yep. And bring your dog, even though I don't have any dogs, but just like,
you're nicer than dogs.
You know, I try. And that's another thing with the signs. Mm-hmm. I have two different signs, no dogs allowed. No dogs allowed, but And then we have people that are coming in from vacationing and they're like, the dog's been in the hour in the car for 6 hours. Can we just let it walk around? And
sure. And this is your first stop? Well, how about, you know, like the gas station? We have a one of the doorbells, like the Ring doorbell. It's a Blink doorbell. Mm-hmm. And they just, some people just walk in, they see the little help me button, they push it, and then you get that like fisheye view. They're like, do you take credit card? Like, you know, just like so funny, you know. Like at AT&T adjusting my phone bill and they're like dinging me.
Yes.
What?
But the credit card, another thing, and I just have to take in consideration, I think of my like my mom or my grandparent or my my grandma. They don't know Cash App. They don't know Venmo. Yes. They have no clue. So when they say, hey, can you do a credit card? Yes, let me stop what I'm doing, go down there, pull up Square on my phone and take their credit card.
Yeah.
And you just have to.
Yeah.
So, you don't have to, but I try.
Yeah.
In your cash box, you take just exact cash?
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, our prices are $25, $28, and $75 and sometimes they'll be $30 wrapped up because nobody's down there to give change, and sometimes it'll just be a $20 wrapped up. So I think it kind of evens out at the end.
Yeah.
At least I hope so. That's what I'm.
Yeah. We have a little like cash, like a little box that just says to make change with. But sometimes people just drop the money in there. They're confused. They don't see the cash box, and there's just all kinds of.
yeah. so many, so many issues. And they're all the same too. Like I hear you saying it, Shannon and I are like, mm-hmm.
Yep. My little same. Comment yeah. box is like, you know, one of those little plastic totes and just cut a hole in the, yeah. the lid. I'm like, please put your comments in here. And there's cash in there. There's yep. the gift certificates in there, which is fine. You know?
Yeah.
As long as I paid, I don't care where you put the money, as long as I see it.
That's right. Know? That's right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So Loretta, what would you say, like, what is your favorite thing that you do on the farm? Like, it could be a business task. It could be a flower farming task. Like, if you only had to pick one thing to do on your farm, what would you choose?
Oh my gosh. Just riding on my tractor be one of them?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it would be.
Enjoying the scenery on your tractor. Yeah. Yeah. Using the bucket scooping up.
Yeah, I love it.
I know. No, I like every. I like weeding. I don't mind the weeding as long as it's not like 80 degrees and, you know, on Memorial Day weekend her bales at the lake. I love planting. I love it all. Mm-hmm. So the only thing I don't like is winter when it's cold. But I love it. I love the spring. I love starting the seeds. I love the whole process of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like I would be happy just not doing any weddings or anything and having people just come up and pick flowers and mm-hmm. like I really love it.
No. Yeah, we bash weddings on this podcast. I mean we all do them.
We do them.
We all do it. But we're like they're a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like my tractor too. That's always a fun. When I get a big scoop and it's a real good scoop of compost, I'll like drive by the girls and I'm looking at them like, you looking at that? You know, they're like, good job, Lens. Like I'm six, you know,
I know. I want to call Kurt and be like, you should see this load that I just loaded up. This is like,
send it, text it to me.
Yeah.
I'll give you props. You text that to me the next time. I'll give you some love. There's something about it. I know we're going to kind of like wrap this up, but what's it like, what's been your biggest lesson or the thing that you feel like has helped you get to where you are right now?
Oh goodness. There's a lot. I thought about this and I feel like customer, getting feedback from your customers and like having that comment suggestion box, like what would make them have better experience. Yeah. And there's a lot of things I wish I'd done different, of course, business-wise, you know, that part I wish I had have took some courses.
School of hard knocks. That's what Shannon's husband always said. Yeah. School of hard knocks. That's how you learn.
Mm-hmm. But your butt a lot of mistakes.
And I did go back and listen to your podcast of the dahlias, like storing the dahlias. You know, I've grown dahlias for years. And this year I had a brain fart and I don't know what I was thinking. So I dug them up. I washed them off and I dampened the peat moss that I put them in. And I just stored them because I was like, oh, it's perfect day. And then sure enough, I listened to your podcast and I was like, oh, they're damp. They're wet. They were molded. So they're all like spread out in our new big metal building.
Yeah.
And, so they're drying. And
Better make sure they don't freeze tonight. I know. Yeah. You got heat in there?
Yeah.
No. After I get off here with you guys, that's where I'm headed.
Okay. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. But it's like those almost like lazy mistakes to me.
Oh, yes.
Get lazy and then they're like, oh, I should have known this. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lazy mistakes, those are hard to like, because we smoked a bunch of flats this spring. We had a tough spring and then we set out like 40 or 50 flats and they were warm season annuals and we got a really late cool temp, which was like 39, but it can still frost at that. And they were toast and they just hadn't been hardened off. And I was like, Lindsay, you have been growing seeds since you were 16. Like, you know what you're doing. But it was like, I didn't want to go down there. We even covered them with frost fabric. I'm like, if it would have just taken a little bit of time to move those things inside, it would have been fine. So I don't know. We all do it. We kill stuff.
It's part of it.
And if I wish I could go back and every time I go to like Lowe's or Tractor Supply or like the grocery store and they have the plants, you know, like the clearance shrubs. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking how much money I could have saved if I didn't buy those. I didn't have anywhere to plant them. And I'm like, oh, they're 70% off. And like, they're still stuck behind the greenhouse, like, you know, 7 years later. And Kurt's like, when are you going to plant this? I'm like, next year. I've got to get the space ready next year.
Yeah.
Like, that's an expensive. I do it every year, though, you know.
Yeah. So.
Have good intentions.
Good intentions. So, rescuing those little plant babies. Yep.
Yeah.
We all do it.
Die a slow death at the back of the greenhouse.
And we sit there and watch it, too.
Yeah.
You see what's happening.
Yeah.
I water them.
We had spirea that just absolutely got completely forgotten about. We had a design and dine. I was like, get those damn things out of here. So we just moved them back behind the barn and we forgot about them. And then they started over. They were there through the winter. And then the next spring, they started to push growth. I thought, oh, you sweet things. Like, I have to plant you now because you suffered for so long. Yeah. So now they're out there planted. They're probably going to be stunted for life because I neglected them. But I finally got in the ground. But I was like, oh, my gosh, good for you for just like sticking it out after I tried to kill you for a solid 9 months. So,
yeah, but that's a good sign. They're like, they want to survive. Yeah. So they'll be like, all right, y'all are a good fit for our farm.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Oh, that's great. Oh, well, this is great, Loretta. Thank you.
Thank you. Will you tell us a little bit how we can learn more about your farm, where we can find you on social or learn more about and connect with you?
Yes. So we do have a website, theneverendingflowerfarm.com, and we're on Facebook and Instagram, The Never Ending Flower Farm.
Okay. Love it.
Well, yes. Thank you, Loretta. You were wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for having me.
Of course. Okay, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. If you love what you're hearing, don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on any future episodes. If you haven't joined us yet over on the Dirt on Flowers Insiders, what are you waiting for? We're going to hop off here and record an extra with Loretta all about photography sessions, which could be a really profitable piece of your business. So I'm sure she has a lot of tips and tricks to share with us over there. So we have about a year's worth now at this point. I can't believe we've been doing it that long. Mm-hmm. Worth of content waiting for you to dive in on the Insiders with our website. So it's a $20 commitment per month and you get so much more than content and connects you with other flower farmers, which is a growing community of wonderful people who are supporting and being your biggest cheerleader. Head over to our Instagram at Dirt on Flowers. Drop us a comment and message. Tell us who you want to hear more from. There's lots more amazing, inspiring flower farmers out there that we would love to interview and get in your earbuds for you. So thank you so much for being here. We hope you love today's episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. As always, we'll see you at the same time, same place next week.